This morning I want to talk about God will provide. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verse 7, it says, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have fire and wood. The boy said, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide the sheep for the burnt offering, son, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. Today I entitled this message, God Will Provide. Have you ever been in a situation where you said, Lord, I just need you right now? You ever been in a place where in your life where you storms, it seemed to come to all ages. You know, it's not one age, all ages, whether they're in first grade or whether they're in the last years of life and everybody in between, there's storms that come. And sometimes those storms seem to come one after the other after the other. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And at the end of that, we say, God will what?
Provide.
Sometimes our bodies aren't where they used to be. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I used to have a lot more hair. It's kind of let loose. I don't know. Back in the day, Mr. Willoughby, I don't know if I'll ever be able to call you by your first name, but Mr. Willoughby would send us out and he would say, now boys, y'all need to run. And the first night of practice, he'd send us on a run for 5 miles for the hurdles. We ran 5 miles. If I run 5 miles right now, it would kill me. I'd just fall over dead. We'd just be done with things. We're not where we used to be. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When we get there, we look back and say, God will. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a God that provides? I really am grateful for that. It seems like there's times in our life we need it so desperately. In verse 2, God tells Abraham to go to Moriah and take his son, the son of promise, Isaac, the son that Isaac that he'd waited 25 years on, the son that he loved. And I can't imagine this, but he said, I want you to sacrifice him for me. I want you to give him back to me. As a dad, I can't even understand that. And God doesn't call you to sacrifice your children on an altar. Some days you might feel like it, but he hasn't called you to do that. But he said, I want that son back. And if we want God to provide for us in our lives, the first thing we have to do is we have to listen to God. If we want God to provide in our lives, the first thing we have to do is start listening to him. I believe maybe God's not providing because we're not listening. Now, everybody likes to talk about God's grace, God's mercies, God's blessings. Those are things that you get that you don't deserve. We like to talk about those things, don't we? But there's some things in your life, I promise you, there's some things in your life that you'll never get a hold of unless you're obedient to God. And so as we look at this passage, I realize, maybe you realize, maybe some disobedience have kept me from stuff that God wanted me to have. Maybe disobedience has kept me from moving forward at times in my life. Disobedience holds me back and holds you back at times in our lives. I was holding revival. Now, Derek, it's a tough place to hold a revival at. I was holding revival in Cape Coral, Florida, about 20 minutes from Fort Myers Beach. Tough, tough place to hold a revival. I'm willing to go back anytime. I'll just say that. There was an older man. He's 90 years old. This guy, his name's Frankie. His wife's name's Ines. 90 years old. This guy's out on jet skis. He's out on the ocean on jet skis, running, wave hopping. Crazy. He was out on his motor scooter, cruising up and down Fort Myers, and a drunk driver hit him. Caught him, and he lost part of his leg and had a long time healing from that, and his body wasn't healing as quick as he'd like. And so I thought while I was there, I'd stop by and see this guy. His name. You ever been to a call, maybe visited somebody that you visited, and you went there to cheer him up, and you left better off than you went in? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I walked to his house, and there he is, and I pull up. There's this motorized wheelchair with tracks on it. Like a bobcat has tracks on it. This thing has tracks on it. On his wheelchair, he has a spot for his dog and his Pepsi. So he has his drink holder and he's got his dog holder and he goes out on the beach. He goes out and finds people to talk with, to pray with, to minister to. in that season of life. I think, what a neat ministry. So I'm talking to him, and he's telling me all about the accident and how that affected his life. And he looked and showed me, and of course he didn't have, from the knee down, his leg was gone. He said something I've never heard him say. I never heard anybody say after an amputation. I have never heard somebody say what he said. He said, that was not my leg to begin with. God just didn't think I needed it now. It was never my leg to begin with. I got to tell you, that's a different way of thinking. You only come to that kind of thinking if you listen to God. Listening to myself, I know what I would be thinking. I hope I would have the same thoughts as he does, but I don't think that would come naturally. What he told me come only from God. Something that he revealed to him. And there comes a time, if we want to receive the blessings of God, we have to listen. If we want God to provide, we have to listen. If we want God to provide in our lives, if we want God to provide in our lives, we've got to love the blesser more than the blessings. Now, I don't know if blesser is really a word, but my dad's from Buckhorn, Kentucky, and I can say make up words if I want to. Leela, is blesser a word or not? I'm not sure. I asked Siri last night, Siri on my phone, and she said she didn't know what I was talking about. But you know, I got to tell you, if you want God to provide for you, you got to love the blesser more than the blessings. You got to love the giver more than what he's given you. You got to love the creator more than the creation. If you want God to provide for you. When we get to verse 3 of this chapter, it says the next morning, oh, get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. The next morning, Abraham got up early, saddled up his donkey, and took his two servants with him, along with his son Isaac. The next what? The next morning. He, get a hold of this. God tells him, I want you to sacrifice your son. The next morning, he gets up. He says, let's go. Let's saddle up the donkey. The next morning. I'd be thinking the next year, the next 5 years, next 20. How about the next 90 years? The next morning. They didn't even have a prayer meeting about it. The next morning he got up. The next morning. And I look at us. The next morning he got up, he saddled up his donkey, and he went. How many of us have heard hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons? And I'd say, don't you think it's time to saddle up? How many Bible studies have you sat through? You think about it. How many Bible studies you think you, I hate to admit it, Louie, but I knew how many boards were on the ceiling at Dive. I would sit there when my dad would preach and I'd count the boards in the ceiling. And I wonder, how many sermons have I sat through in my lifetime? Some of them I listened to, some of them my dad was talking, I was counting boards. But, now don't you be counting boards here this morning. I see you already. People, I wonder how many boards, the curiosity done took over you. How many boards is up there? It comes a time to saddle up. You had some godly exposure. You've been exposed to the ministers of this church. I'll tell you what. Mark is one of the most talented men that I've met preacher-wise. Man, he's one of them preachers that can preach and sing and cry and preach at the same time. He's pretty gifted. And Charlie, I tell you what, I'm not going to pick on Charlie. Mark does enough of that. I tell you, Charlie, I God bless you, brother. Maybe we'll gang up on him a little bit. I don't know. We're looking forward to being together. Truly looking forward to being with you guys. You guys are a fun group. But I tell you, there comes a time after all that godly exposure to saddle up, doesn't it? Comes a time to saddle up. I was with my dad, and he was getting ready to get on a horse for the first time. Philip, I was in junior high, and you know how Dad would talk to you when he was down there, and it was just natural for him. I looked at him in junior high and I said, Dad, doesn't it make you nervous getting on that horse, knowing it's never been ridden? And Dad looked at me so confidently and he said, son, my heart doesn't beat one time faster standing on this ground as when I'm sitting in that saddle. And it's as if that horse had taken it as a challenge. Understood the English language, if you know what I mean. Dad put his foot in the stirrup and got on that horse, and that horse bucked like I'd never seen a horse buck in my life. It bucked so hard that the girth on the saddle, that the saddle broke, and there my dad went. It launched Dad and the saddle up in the air. Dad was still riding the saddle. The horse was somewhere else. He come tumbling down. I thought he went to the moon and back. I went and got the horse. We got it back up, and he saddled it back up and rigged the saddle up again, and he stuck his foot in the stirrup, and he got right back on the saddle. I promise you this. His heart was beating a little faster the second time than it was the first. I promise you. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? All I'm trying to say here is that there comes a day when you got to saddle up. There comes a day when you just got to saddle up and go. You can't say, well, I'm going to pray about it a little longer. I'm going to think about it a little longer. There just comes a day and say, you know what? God has something for me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to saddle up. It makes me nervous, but I'm going to saddle up. Maybe your heart doesn't beat any faster. That's wonderful. Saddle up. A verse in Colossians chapter 2, 6 says, and now just as we've accepted Christ Jesus as our Lord, you must, what? Continue to follow him. What that means is you got to saddle up not just once, but you got to continue to saddle up. You got to saddle up daily. You got to saddle up daily and move out. In 2016, Matthew Edmonds, by day he's an accountant, but in the evening time he's a sharpshooter. In 2016, he was good enough to make the Olympic team, and he was shooting for the gold. All he needed was one last shot to be halfway decent. And he lines up, takes his shot, hits the target, 8.1. 8.1 is enough for the gold. He looks at the scoreboard, it says zero. Looks back at the target, it says 8.1. Scoreboard says zero. Next morning, USA Today said it like this. Great shot, wrong target. Great shot, wrong target. Sometimes we in our life shoot at the wrong targets. We shoot to have all the money and riches around us and to be comfortable. Great shot, wrong target. Sometimes we shoot for everybody to like you. We like it when everybody likes us. Good luck with that. Great shot, wrong target. Sometimes we love our kids so much, we want them to have everything that we never had. Great shot, wrong target. You see, you can gain the riches of the world and the popularity of the world, and you can still go to hell. That's the truth of it. As you climb the ladder of success, as you're climbing that ladder of success, realize it might be leaning against the wrong building. Are you at the place where God wants you to be at in your life? Are you serving God the way He wants you to serve Him? Are you following Him the way He wants you to be? Are you listening to Him? Are you hitting the target? Do you love the blesser? Do you love the blesser more than the blessings? If you want God to provide you, we need to be faithful. Verse 5 says, stay. This is my favorite part of this story. Get a hold of this. Stay here with the donkeys, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there. Let's say this last little bit together. And then, what? We will come right back. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of Abraham's known as a man of faith. Remember that? He said, he looks at his servants and says, hey, you hang on to these donkeys here for a little bit. We're going to take the fire. We're going to take the wood. We're going to go up here and worship for a little while. You remember what's supposed to happen? There's supposed to be a sacrifice. Isaac's supposed to be sacrificed. And he looks at his servants knowing that he's going up here to sacrifice his son. And he says, we will be right back. I don't know how God's going to do it. I'm not sure how God's going to do it. I don't know if he's going to raise him from the dead. I don't know if he's going to stop me before I do it. But all I know is that what? We will be back. Oh, we got to have faith if we want to follow God. We got to have that kind of faith. We need to have faith that God is a God of provision. He can take care of things. He goes on. Verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," he said, "here am I, son, my son." Then he said, "Look, there's fire and there's wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" "Look, Dad, there's fire. There's wood. But where's the lamb?" You can have, Johnny, you did a good job today, buddy. You can have the most fiery worship service. That last song, I think everybody was jumping up and down in here. I tell you what, but you can have the most fiery worship service, and you can have all the wood you want. You can build all the buildings you want, but if the lamb is not involved in it, it's just a waste of time. If Jesus Christ cannot be Lord of all, he will not be Lord at all. That's the Lord that I serve. Verse 10. And Abraham picked up his knife to kill his son and his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called back from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here am I." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. I serve a God that at the most difficult times of my life, he shows up. Aren't you glad you have a God that shows up for you? I got a God that shows up for me. My God has a way of showing up. I wish sometimes he'd show up a little earlier. I don't know if you understand that or not, but sometimes I wish he'd show up a little earlier. But I have a God that shows up. I love that. And then he provides a ram in the bush. If you read on through the passage. Now I live, this is somewhat of a farming community. I lived around here for quite a while. I went to Orange County, and that's even more of a farming community. But being a farming community, you understand that a ram is bigger than a lamb. All Abraham needed was a lamb. But he didn't give him a lamb. He gave him a what? Ram. All I'm trying to say is God can give you more than you asked for. We have a God that we serve that can give us more than we asked for. Oh, I got a couple in the church. We've been praying. They've cried and prayed for years for a child. They're not able to have children. In the last 3 months, they've got two. Not one, but two. My God can give you more than what you ask for. My God is a God that wants to bless his children, wants to provide for his children. And then the passage says it's holding this ram in a what? In a bush. Some translations say a thicket. But we got to get our arms around this, because the thicket's not holding the ram. The bush is not holding the ram. Who's holding the ram? God is. God is holding that ram in the bush. Get a hold of this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. God's holding that ram right there in the bush. You need to understand that God is holding the blessings. God is the one that holds the blessings. God is the one that holds the blessings for this nation, not someplace in Washington, D.C. God is the one that holds our blessings. In our state house doesn't hold the blessings for Indiana. God holds the blessings for us here in Indiana. God is the one that holds the blessing for Hillcrest Christian Church. He's the one that holds it in his hand. He's the one that's able to open up and open the floodgates and bless you in ways that you can't imagine. God is the one that holds the blessings for your family. You believe that? We don't hold it. We think we go to work and we work real hard. Let me say, God is the one that's holding on to those blessings, not you. And so we need to seek his provision in our life so that we can receive the blessing that he wants to give us. Johnny, I'm going to end here, buddy. You can come on up. I'm going to quit here. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Yeah. That's the man right there. Yeah, come on. There we go. I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm doing you wrong. I'm not doing this like Mark does it. I see it right now. I just messed it all up. Just messed it all up, buddy. I'm sorry. Just give me a minute and I'll finish up. I'll wrap it up. I'm going to quit here. Now, Mark would go on for 20 more minutes, wouldn't he? Maybe. Abraham, he puts an altar before God. Abraham, he puts wood before God. Abraham, he puts fire before God. Abraham, he places his son before God. And all the time he's putting things before God, God is working behind him. God is providing for him. He's working behind the scenes, we could say, couldn't we? And all I want to say to you today, I don't know where you're at in life, but God's still working behind the scenes. My God still works behind the scenes today. Some people have relationships that's not where they should be. God's still working behind the scenes. Don't give up. Some of you going through relationships at home, it's kind of tough. Hang in there. Hang in there. God's still working behind the scenes. Some of you financial problems and issues in your life, let me say, God's still working behind the scenes. He can provide in ways that nobody else can. My dad would say that you can't threaten a person with heaven. My God has provided a way for us to go to heaven. And what he wants you to know, that what God wants you to know is, come on, take a hold of it. So today, if you've not been baptized, why not? Why not today? Why not today? Let's do it today. God's already provided the way for you to accept him as your Lord and Savior and be baptized and accept that gift of heaven. Maybe some of you'd like to rededicate your life. Well, today's the day. Saddle up. Saddle up. There comes a time, just saddle up. I know in all of our lives, as I stand here today, love to see the people in the pews all the way back. There's not an empty pew, I don't think, in here. I love that. But what I do understand, in every pew that's here, there's needs. And that every seat that's sitting in here, everybody that's in here, there's things that's going on in your life. That's all of us. Amen? And now's the time. We come with our church family. And we can give that to the Lord. And I don't know how Mark does all this stuff, but I'm going to do it this way. It's what I'm comfortable with. If you want to pray this morning, you just come on down and sit down. I'll scoot them guys down a little bit. If you want to pray, you just come on down here and pray, or come over here and pray. If you want someone to pray with you, just raise your hand. Let's do it that way. If you want someone to pray with you, just raise your hand. They'll be glad to pray with you. Derek will be here. Charlie will be here. They'll be glad to pray. I'll be here. We'll be glad to pray with you. Because we all have storms that come in our lives. There's hurts we live with. I told my mom yesterday, I felt like a teenage girl. I said, I can be driving down the road and I just start crying. I think about Dad and I just start crying, Philip. I don't know. I hurt and I just start crying going down the road. And I can't control it, Phil. I said, I feel like a teenage girl. I feel sorry for all you teenage girls right now. I know a state phase will go through, but sometimes we just need to give things to the Lord. So I don't want to be fast to jump over that, because maybe that's the most important thing that you do today, is come and say, Lord, I got some stuff on my heart, and I know that you're the one that can fix it. So let's stand. Johnny, why don't you lead us on, buddy?